Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle. Watch us. SmileEyeSports.com. You can reach us. Roller Auctions Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. On Wednesday, there's going to be a construction and contracting equipment auction featuring wheel loaders, excavators, cranes, Airstream travel trailers, campers, a boat, containers, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. If you love your nuggets and your avalanche, it's going to be jammed down your throat potentially through May 19th, outside of this Wednesday. Avs play the Stars tomorrow, Wednesday, day off. Then you have the Avs against the Stars down in Dallas on Thursday. And then straight through, if both of the Avs and Nuggets go seven games, it goes through Sunday, May 19th.
Wow.
And both the Avs and the Nuggets will be playing their game sevens on the same day.
Isn't that something? Well, buckle up. Here we go.
Well, after watching the Nuggets, buckle up if you're hoping for another championship. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Get some tonight in Denver, Longmont, Lions, and Estes Park.
Timberwolves are up on the Nuggets in their best of seven series. Game two tonight, Ball Arena. Christian Brown said after the game, "We're the defending champs. You got to act like it." Michael Malone said yesterday, "I talked to our players this morning about how for five games against the Lakers, we were virtually, well, down every first quarter. So do I believe that our guys are fully ready to give whatever it takes to defend our title? I do. But at some point, man, you got to stop doing the same thing." What do you think is wrong with the Nuggets? Because now it's becoming a real pattern. Now into this series, they fell behind 18-4 against Minnesota.
Came back to lead after the end of the first quarter, but you can call it focus, energy, whatever you want. You're still having to contest the other team, which is trying just as hard or maybe harder than you are. You got to match effort, and these are all things that you can do with want to, but Minnesota creates issues with their on-ball defense. They, I thought, had the Nuggets kind of off balance all day long. Jamal Murray is becoming a concern, and you just don't know how he's being affected by that calf injury. You just don't know it. But I think that you can draw a fairly good conclusion in that this is a guy that's probably, well, he's one of the best from regular to postseason players in the history of the NBA. The metrics tell you that. And we're not seeing it. We're not seeing it. And yes, he's hit two huge shots. That doesn't overshadow the fact that he really has shot for a very poor percentage.
I'll just put it simply. Michael Porter Jr. has been the Nuggets' second best player in the playoffs. Not Jamal Murray.
Yeah, and that's a problem.
I mean, good on Michael Porter
Jr.
No,
it's fine. But
no knock on him.
But Jamal's the volume shooter. You need Jamal to be playing. And it opens up the two-man game, which Minnesota is doing a really good job of defending. I thought Minnesota did an absolutely fantastic job in their preparation, in their readiness to play.
They were
ready. They had a great plan. They enacted the plan. They weren't deterred. They won in the key moments of the fourth quarter. Naz Reid gave them 10 unanswered or whatever, or 10 straight points from him.
Well, let's put something in perspective by
sure.
Naz Reid. We already know he's the sixth man of the year. The reason why he got all the minutes that he did is because Cat was in foul trouble.
Yeah. You had them
think about that for a second.
You had them in a good situation.
Yes, you right? did.
I mean, on the surface, you had them in a good situation.
Mm-hmm.
You were in a tight game at home. Karl Anthony Towns was on the bench. And boom, the guy coming off the bench ended up being, quite frankly, the difference in the game.
I said this more than a few times, probably about a month and a half ago. I talked to somebody in the Nuggets organization, and we were talking about playoff matchups, and we were talking about Minnesota and OKC. And what this guy said to me was, I feel confident about us getting to the finals again, even though I understand that the matchups against Minnesota are going to be difficult, because we've been there before and they haven't. And the NBA is a ladder league, meaning you got to take your necessary steps to climb that ladder. Rarely do teams climb up two rungs at a time. That was his confidence. Well, I got news for you. As we were reading previews of this series, you and I talked about it. What was the Nuggets' biggest advantage? It was not matchups. I think when it comes to matchups, they lose almost everyone. Almost everyone. They lose those matchups. You have Naz Reid, Cat, and Gobert constantly banging with Jokic. You're rotating three guys. Well, what happened the last time in the playoffs that Jokic had three big guys banging against him? The Lakers series.
Mm-hmm.
And Jokic wasn't Jokic yet. The Lakers series with Dwight Howard.
Yep.
And Anthony Davis and JaVale McGee threw him off a little bit,
yeah,
right?
Right.
And then you're seeing all of these switches with Jamal Murray. I mean, I said this, not that I'm trying to say I'm right. I told you Anthony Edwards would be on Jamal Murray more than a few times. And he sure as hell was right at the beginning.
He was at the beginning.
And then
they switched over to McDaniel.
But that's the thing. No, they switched over to McDaniels, then Conley. They kept right. giving him different looks, because they have the personnel to do that. A guy with great length, a guy with tenacity, a guy who does this, constantly mixing it up. But what was the Nuggets' advantage? According to this person I talked to in the Nuggets organization, what everybody was saying, the Nuggets know how to close. The Nuggets are the champs. Guess what? With the score tied at 84, with 6:15 to play, who looked like the champs? Now that narrative is gone. It's busted, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
It's not that the Nuggets can't close.
Right. It's not like they haven't proven it.
But now we know Minnesota can.
Well, sure.
But we didn't know that. Look at last year's playoffs. Are they ready to take that next step? I'm not saying the Nuggets can't. I'm saying now they're facing a team that knows it can. And that's the problem.
Yeah, I would be careful in drawing definitive conclusions based on one game. But it was troublesome. It was troublesome because the concerns that you had going in were evidenced. I mean, Minnesota's depth, their ability to send different players defensively. Their bench, ironically, wasn't that much better than the Nuggets, really. I mean, when you get right down to metrics.
Well, Naz Reid scored 14 in the fourth quarter. He came off the bench. With Cat on the bench with foul trouble.
It was
14 points.
And again, you're jumping the shark here for me. So it's when you got them. That was the key. The bench wasn't that much better. It's when you got the points. That was key. Nuggets bench, 15 points, 14 rebounds. All four players off the bench were pluses.
Yes, they were.
All four players.
Yep.
23 points, 6 rebounds in 61 minutes. They played just 6 more minutes than the Nuggets bench. But Mike Conley hit a couple of key threes on screens that went under on screens. And Michael Malone afterwards, his frustration on the way that you guard guys, it's lazy to slip under a screen. You start telling kids this from high school, junior high school. You've got to work over the top of screens.
Here's something.
Doesn't change in the NBA.
Here's something interesting about what you just said. That, and I agree with you, the Nuggets bench played considerably better.
Mm-hmm. They were good.
And then you said, but the Timberwolves played better at key times.
Mm-hmm.
That's what championship teams do.
No question.
What happens is sometimes we get lost in the box score and make assumptions. Well, look at the Nuggets bench. To your point, look at all those rebounds, right? It's when it happens in clutch situations.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's worrisome. That the team that is not the defending champs, the team that has not been to the Western Conference Finals, right? That's the team that executed in the right moments when they had to.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people felt, well, that's what the Nuggets are going to do against a team that isn't ready. On Saturday, the team that wasn't ready was ready. That gives you confidence.
But the outlier for me is, and I'll ask you, this is a yes or no question. Will the Timberwolves shoot 71% in the second half tonight?
No.
Okay.
They won't, but
will they force Nikola Jokic into 7 turnovers tonight? What's your yes or no stance?
No.
I'm
going to ask you a question.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Will they force him into 25 shots? And the answer is yes. And they are 4-10 when he shoots the ball 25 times. We'll talk more about that after the break.
Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Big hands, I know you're the one.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed. At Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman on Wednesday. There's going to be a construction and contracting equipment auction featuring wheel loaders, excavators, cranes, Airstream travel trailers, a camper, a boat, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. In the meantime, we are into spring, and if you are looking to do a little spring cleaning, a little improvement on your home, you need new sidings, windows, doors, whatever, Paramount Siding and Windows was just named the best siding contractor in the Best of Mile High magazine. They were also a top 3 finalist in the Windows and Doors category. Their customers love them. They've been around since 2009, nearly 600. 5-star Google reviews. They have a state-of-the-art showroom you're going to love to go down to see in Littleton, or they can come to you as well. They'll do any size project. You need one window, they'll do it. Most companies won't even waste their time. They don't even want to spend the gas money. Paramount Siding and Windows will. Go find them in Littleton or go to ParamountSidingandWindows.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Paramount Siding and Windows. Paramount Siding and Windows, it's quality in everything they do. Find them at ParamountSidingandWindows.com.
You asked me going into the break, do I think that the Timberwolves are going to shoot 71% from the floor in the second half? No, I don't. Do I think that Jokic is going to have all those turnovers? No, I don't. But I do think he's going to have to be a high-volume shooter with Murray hobbled. However, even with a healthy Murray, they're doing a great job defending him.
Yep.
They're doing a great job defending Jokic. I find it kind of ironic that the guy who built the Nuggets has now built a team to beat the champs.
When you go 16 of 39 from the floor and shoot 41%, and that's your big 1-2 punch, you got issues.
You do.
You got issues.
And these are just the numbers. They're not arguable. When Jokic shoots the ball 25 times a game, they're 4-10. Period. But this was my biggest concern going into this series. And I used a movie as an analogy. And it was Rocky III. Mr. T had the eye of the tiger. And that's what Anthony Edwards has. And that's what these guys have. And as we've watched the Nuggets now through six games, they have not had the eye of the tiger. They have not looked like a team that has the, I don't want to say motivation because that's not fair. I'm not suggesting they're not playing hard. They don't have the playoff intensity to beat you soundly like they did last year. And Minnesota does. Look at what they did to the Suns. And honestly, I know what the score says. I know that it was, what, a six-point game, seven-point game, whatever the hell it was. Minnesota looks like they want to beat the hell out of you, and the Nuggets do not.
Right. It all boils down to tonight and how the Nuggets respond.
Even if they respond and win, I still do not feel confident about them in this series because then the next two games are in Minnesota. That place is going to be electric.
Sure. But every game is a game and a test unto itself. You take every trip starts with a single step. I'll go with the cliche. And that's where you are. You have to be this way with the Nuggets. The Nuggets they're down 1-0. They've got lots of questions swirling around them. How do they come out and react tonight? I mean, Michael Malone said it yesterday. We're going to have our answer. We're going to find out where this team is. You got to do things that have gotten you there. All of the things that have gotten you there, you've got to continue to do and do well. And the Nuggets aren't doing those things.
This is what Jokic said about the second half performance in which they gave up 71% shooting from the floor to Minnesota. There were some easy, easy buckets, basically layups. Some of them were matchups. Some of them were concepts. Some of them were just guarding, and that's effort to me. It's a little bit of everything. It's not just one thing. But yes, maybe if we have a mismatch, we need to help a little bit more. Just try to be physical. That's effort.
Mm-hmm.
And try to be really aggressive. That is effort. I agree with him. It's not just one thing.
Right.
My whole thing is, I don't think the Nuggets have the matchups in their favor.
They don't.
So with that, now it comes down to two things. They can't do anything about the matchups anymore. Their teams are built how they are built. Now it comes down to concepts and being aggressive.
Execution as well.
Correct.
Yeah.
Being aggressive and execution, that is a game-to-game thing.
Yes.
What is your mindset going into the game? Can you keep it flowing for 48 minutes? This is going to be Michael Malone's most difficult coaching job of his career. Because he is going to have to find a way to make adjustments. Because Minnesota, a lot of times, look like bees on a hive every time the Nuggets had the ball on the offensive side of the floor.
Well, the first place you start is with your defensive energy and focus, and you've got to have a game plan that you can follow defensively.
Right.
And then you got to be true to it.
You got to get easy baskets out of your defense.
Well, that would be nice because that's really difficult. If you can score in transition against this team, it makes your job a lot easier. Not easier, but it just makes your job, you can get to where you need to get.
Does this look like a team, honestly, through six games, that for the most part, outside of certain moments of the second half against the Lakers, a team that is playing regular season basketball?
No.
Have you seen a sense of urgency in this team consistently?
No, not consistently. No, I've seen urgency in the moments that they've needed to do it. But they're not playing the Lakers now. They're playing the Timberwolves. It's a different story.
And that's the eye of the tiger, baby. They don't have it. They don't have it consistently throughout the game. And last year, they would just flip a switch defensively and maul teams. They haven't been able to do that with any consistency.
Well, that's where it starts tonight. It starts that they've got to do a better job on the glass. They were -8 in the glass. They've got to be better defensively. You can't allow a team. You cannot allow a team in your barn to shoot 71% and score 66 points in the second half. That game, even with the Nuggets not playing particularly well, that game was winnable. Ridiculous as it sounds, the game was winnable. But man, I'm telling you, Minnesota, and this isn't anything new. There's no new ground here. Minnesota's a problem.
They are. And while the horse is out of the barn and there's no way getting that horse back, this is a series where they desperately needed a guy like Bruce Brown. He would be the only guy on your roster outside of Aaron Gordon, and not even Aaron Gordon, because Anthony Edwards is much too quick for him too. Bruce Brown would have been the assignment on Anthony Edwards. Same size, same width, all of that.
I think Anthony Edwards is a matchup bitch for a lot of teams.
He is.
Right?
But he would have been your best guy right. to match up, because Aaron Gordon needs to be on Karl Anthony Towns. And Karl Anthony Towns did not go off in this game. They don't have an answer like we say about Jokic all the time. There is no answer for Jokic.
No.
Actually, there is. It's three big bodies constantly coming after him. And oh, by the way, they have figured out what a lot of people could not figure out, which is the Aaron Gordon lob problem. Put Karl Anthony Towns or Naz Reid on Jokic and make sure that Gobert doesn't allow those lob passes. Aaron Gordon was basically ineffective offensively because every time it felt like Jokic got the ball, he was swarmed. And then when he's looking for Aaron Gordon, Aaron Gordon has no space to move.
Yes.
They got hurt in the front court. They got hurt in the back court. And Minnesota is not going to take their foot off the gas. The question is, when are the Nuggets going to put their foot on theirs?
Nikola Jokic is going to get a lot of mid-range opportunities, and he's got to hit those shots.
Notice he started settling for threes.
Yeah, you don't want that either. You want him. I'm fine with everything on the high post, in this case, which is the top of the arc. I don't have a problem with them starting there with Jokic with the ball. But as he gets down the lane, I think that those 10 to 12 footers are going to be key for him, because he's not going to get to the basket against those guys. They're taking that away from him. I think it's going to be really interesting. Will Nikola Jokic be more aggressive scoring early in tonight's game? Because they just didn't get out of the gate at all.
They're going to let him score. They don't want anybody else to.
Well, that's okay. But early in the game, I'm okay with that. Because if Jokic gets into a rhythm, then I'm fine with it. It doesn't bother me as much. Even coming all the way back to lead at the end of the first quarter, that was a confidence builder for Minnesota, getting up 18-4. They were playing in clean air. They weren't feeling the Nuggets in any shape or fashion. And while the Nuggets did a good job getting back into the game,
they turned it up defensively.
They did.
That's how they got back in this
game. And yet,
but it was fleeting. It lasted until the second half.
And yet in the second half, they couldn't do it.
Right. This is the line from Anthony Edwards that should make you think, wow, he feels this way. Because this is a sad statement about how the Nuggets played, specifically in the first half against Anthony Edwards. I've never gotten that many easy buckets. Can you imagine Michael Jordan saying, I've never gotten that many easy buckets, or LeBron James saying that? What does that say about your defense, where it's nearly impossible to stop Anthony Edwards hitting hard buckets, and you're giving him easy ones?
Yeah, it's an issue.
The players on that Nuggets roster need to take that personally.
Well, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in film yesterday, but I didn't have that opportunity. it will be interesting to see how they respond tonight. It is. It seems clear to me, I don't know about anyone else, it seems clear to me at this point to count on Jamal Murray to be the Jamal Murray that we have historically known in the postseason.
He hasn't been there for six games.
He hasn't been there for six games.
Now, I'm sure his injury probably has something.
Of course it does.
But I guess,
no question.
But I guess my question is, with all that rest that he had going into this series, he did score 32 points against the Lakers with that same injury. Now, it might be worse,
mm-hmm,
for all I know, but he's not playing against the Lakers.
No. No. The challenge is much more significant. Anything that they can do to loosen that two-man game will be great, but that's what Minnesota won because they were able to prioritize the things that they needed to do and then executed them. The Nuggets could not respond in kind, and that was the difference in the game.
Coming up after the break, the Avalanche tomorrow night, game one against the Stars in Dallas. Dallas was the best team in the Western Conference during the regular season, four lines. The question is, let's look at their goaltending. Well, we looked at the goaltending from Hellebuck. What makes you think that they can make Ottinger look like Hellebuck? And I don't mean that in a positive way. That's next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman and Hurdle. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Wednesday, there's going to be a construction and contracting equipment auction featuring wheel loaders, excavators, cranes, Airstream travel trailers, a camper, a boat, containers, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Roller Auctions. Get what you want at the price you want. Go to rollerauction.com/MHS. And they'll send you notifications on their latest auctions.
The champs are out, the Vegas Golden Knights. So it's going to be Dallas against the Avalanche starting tomorrow in Dallas. And then game two is on Thursday. Avs won the regular season series 2-1. With that, with the way the Avs are playing right now, even if they lost all three games of the regular season, if they lost two of three, but they did win two of three. Is that regular season record to you almost irrelevant with the way they are playing right now?
Yeah. How'd the Winnipeg series go?
Right.
I mean, postseason is different than the regular season in a lot of different ways. And we saw that with the Avs in the series against Winnipeg, a team that dominated them during the regular season.
And they had home ice.
Yeah.
And how did that work out?
Exactly.
Where the Avs won two games on the road.
Yeah. I mean, the Avs have chosen rest over rust with basically 5 days of light work since they last played. Today will be their sixth. They play tomorrow. Dallas is a hot team now after what they lost 2-0 to Vegas. That was the only loss in their last three, I guess, right? Something like that. So they're the hot team, but you got to think that they're a little worn at this point. I kind of like the Nuggets or the Avs setup, even going to Dallas.
If they ever had a chance to steal one on the road.
I'm with you, dude.
This is it after a knockdown, drag-out brawl with Vegas. They might be tired. We will find out tomorrow night. No, by the way, I'm really going to have to watch my mouth this weekend.
Uh-oh.
Seriously, watch what I say. because I'm going to be in Dallas on Saturday for a Boys and Girls Club event.
Oh.
And that's when the Avs play Dallas. An 8:30 start, local time there.
Mm.
So I'm not going to miss much of that game, but I'm going to have to watch what I say.
I can't imagine your mouth getting you in any trouble.
Well, I'm going to have to watch what I say, because if the Avs are up 2-0 in that series,
you might have something to say about it.
We're not going to be raising a lot of money if I start pumping up the Avs in front of that crowd. That's just a little side note.
That's really funny. Well, timing is everything. I like the Avs. I really don't think I care who they're playing at this point.
Well, if they play like they did against Winnipeg.
And that's an if. I mean, you know, obviously that's an if. But, man, the Avs appear to understand what they had to do to turn things around after a pretty tough opening game against Winnipeg. I know they scored six times, and so they laid the groundwork for the work that they did with Hellebuck later in the series. I get that. But I think that they understand the process, and I realize that Dallas is a totally different team than Winnipeg. I appreciate that.
They're deeper with more talent. Winnipeg rolls out four lines. Dallas rolls out four lines, but those four lines are more talented.
Mm-hmm.
You can make the case, certainly just by looking at the regular season. Jake Oettinger, he was good in the regular season.
Yeah.
Wasn't great.
Nope.
He was good, far from great. Hellebuck was great during the regular season. He's probably going to win the Vezina.
Mm-hmm.
With that, Oettinger gave up 2 goals a game in this series.
That's it. He's given up 4 goals in his last 5 games against the Knights. He's been tough.
Now, the Knights are not some offensive juggernaut.
No. Mm-mm. This is a totally different challenge for Dallas.
You would think that looking at the way these playoffs could potentially unfold, the biggest problem for the Avalanche was going to be against Winnipeg, a team that plays a totally different style, a boa constrictor style. They suffocate you when they have the lead. And the Avs just took a stick of dynamite, jammed it down the boa constrictor's throat, and lit it, and just blew that thing to smithereens. This is going to be more of a skating series. And you would think that
I
is
like
going...
the Avs even more now.
Right. It's going to be more... But because it's going to be more of a skating series, they still need to, I believe, play like they did against... They need to have the same mindset that they did against Winnipeg. They're going to be able to... The defensemen are going to be able to pinch more. It's going to be more up and down. But they need to stay closer to home. They need to play that type of defense as if... Who said it? Josh Manson said it best. Ironically scored a goal in the next game and said, I need to be more of a defensive defenseman.
Right.
And he was.
That was
and
probably the best soundbite of the entire series because it was a moment of recognition.
But now, here's the problem. Now Josh Manson will be able to do more skating. He will be able to pinch further. And he won't maybe take care of his defensive zone as much as he needs to. Because this is going to be up and down. I think the defensive guys need to have the same mindset against Dallas as they did against Winnipeg. Take care of your own end. Yes, still pinch in, but don't be overly aggressive on offense because you do not want two-on-ones going the other way. Because as well as Georgiev played, he is facing more talented forwards going towards him.
Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
But the temptation will be there.
It will. But even within a defensive posture, they still were averaging over 5 goals a game in that series.
And that's my point.
Right.
So they need to approach this Dallas game.
We don't need you from the back end.
Right.
We don't need you.
They have to approach this Dallas series the same way they played the Winnipeg series.
Hopefully,
but there's
going
to be that temptation to really want to skate. And we know the Avalanche can do that.
I think it's going to be the pace of this series looks like it's going to be.
It's going to be more fun.
It's going to be more fun to watch.
Yeah.
Because you're going to see end-to-end stuff. And I love that for the Avs.
What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
We'll get into the NBA and NHL playoff action from the weekend. And after the Lakers fired Darvin Ham, who is the best choice to become the Lakers' next head coach?
Are we talking about the Lakers? That's for ESPN. I don't want to talk about the Lakers. I'm sorry. I don't give a blank about them. I don't.
Okay.
The Lakers are done on our show. Please.
Fair enough.
Promise me?
Promise.
I don't want to hear anything about the Lakers.
Okay.
Wow.
Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman and Hurdle. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Wednesday, there will be a construction and contracting equipment auction featuring wheel loaders, excavators, cranes, an Airstream travel trailer, campers, a boat, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Alrighty, guys, just in case you missed it, besides the Nuggets-Wolves Game 1 in the NBA playoffs over the weekend, the Mavericks took Game 6 from the Clippers 114-101 to eliminate them. Kyrie Irving scored 28 points in the second half. He continues to play really well. Game 1 between Dallas and Oklahoma City is tomorrow night. How much of a chance do you give the Mavs in this series versus the Thunder?
No, I give them a chance. Kyrie Irving's playing at a really high level. And it's kind of reworked who he, his public persona has been reworked. It's interesting to me that he is kind of connecting media-wise now when it was something or other that he just never seemed particularly interested in. But be that as it may, it's working. That combo is working, those two guys. And Luka Doncic really hasn't played that great yet. Yeah, they've got a chance in that series. But Oklahoma City is very intriguing to me. This just feels like a bunch of young dudes that just don't know any better and can roll out there and have a pretty good chance regardless of who they're playing.
The one thing, and I can't believe I'm saying this about the defending champs, the one thing that might give me hope, although I know there are tons of differences, and I get it, matchups, things like that between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves, the one thing that gives me hope is after the first half of the first game, Mavericks Clippers, in which the Clippers were up 56-30.
Yeah.
And it looked like the Clippers are just going to win this thing in four, maybe five. Dallas came back to win this series.
Sure did.
Because they looked dead in the first half of the first game.
Yep.
Anything can happen.
Yep. Every 48 minutes is different.
Or just in case you missed it, the Dallas Stars, as you guys mentioned, defeated the Vegas Golden Knights 2-1 in Game 7 last night to complete their grueling 7-game series. So just like last season, the defending champs are out in the first round like the Avs were last year. How much does Dallas and Vegas wearing each other down for 7 games benefit the Avs, or maybe waiting around for a week does more harm than good?
Well, I mean, you've got a really good example of rest and rust, right? The Avs have been not inactive, but haven't been competitive in 6 days. Dallas just got done winning a series in 7 games last night. I cannot imagine that they haven't been affected in some shape or fashion by playing a very tight, emotional 7-game series against the defending champion. And I'm hoping that the Avs have benefited greatly from the rest that they've been able to get in and around a couple of workouts.
Where is Druin now? Where is Parisi?
Right.
Are they going to get these guys back? This is so different than 2007 with the Rockies, in which they had that long layoff.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball is different than hockey.
Right.
Totally different than hockey.
I was about to say that, because in the first round we saw the Dodgers, the Braves, the Rays, all these teams that won 100 games lose in the first round.
Sure.
Because they had to wait around for the wild card teams to finish. So
different kind of game.
It's about baseball's about timing.
Sure it is.
Especially when it comes to hitting. It's about timing.
What's the hardest thing to do in sports?
And oh, by the way, I know there's some people believe, even in the Rockies organization currently and past Rockies people, they believe if the layoff wasn't as long, they may have won the World Series against the Red Sox, and no, they would not.
I don't think so.
The Red Sox had a murderer's row.
It was a really good team.
They had Dustin Pedroia leading off, then Ellsbury, then Ortiz, then Manny Ramirez, and Lowell.
Yeah.
That was a professional hitting lineup, and they had a plan against every single Rockies pitcher. And oh, by the way, the pitching staff led by Beckett was pretty good too.
That was a 4-0 sweep. That was a dominating 4-0 sweep.
It may have been 5 games, but the Rockies had no chance. That momentum was not going to carry them past that team. The Diamondbacks were not the Red Sox, the Phillies. Yes, I know they had Howard, and I believe they had Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different.
Agreed.
All right, just in case you missed it, Mystic Dan's nose victory in the 150th Kentucky Derby drew 16.7 million viewers. It's the biggest audience for the race since 1989. A viewership peaked at 20.1 million from 5 to 5:15 when the 18-1 shot Mystic Dan, Sierra Leone, and Forever Young hit the wire together in the Derby's first three-horse photo finish since 1947. Did you catch any of the Kentucky Derby on Saturday, and any thoughts on the biggest audience since 1989?
No, it was also the biggest handle. I mean, it was the amount of money bet on that race, I think, was an all-time record. But
well, that's because there's mobile sports betting in almost every state.
Well, they're still betting it. So,
well, more people have an opportunity to bet is my point.
Gotcha. Anyway, and then they had... No, I didn't pay any attention to the Kentucky Derby. I did think it was interesting, though, that the Kentucky Derby was on Saturday, photo finish. Then it was basically a photo finish in the NASCAR race yesterday in Kansas City that I think, was it Larson that ended up winning it? I'm not sure who won it.
Was it Kyle Busch?
Was it Kyle Busch that won it? Okay, whoever won it, great. I've never seen anything like it. And I didn't watch the end of the race. I only saw the highlights of it. But, I mean, it was – I don't know how you could have differentiated between the two drivers.
By the way, those ratings numbers are off, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I did an event on Saturday for the Colorado Therapeutic Riding Center. That's based on – ratings are based on televisions. We had 160 people in the room, counting as one television. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
We had 160 people because it was a Kentucky Derby party before the fundraiser.
Right.
Think about bars with all those people in there.
Sure.
Think about last year, Mandy and I went to a Kentucky Derby party in Denver. It's a big outdoor festival. There were like 500 people there last year. Counts as one television.
There you go.
Think about how many Kentucky Derby parties There are. That was Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it. You can walk into any store, try out the appliances before you buy them. If you want to redesign your entire kitchen, they have a staff that can help you out. You walk into a big box store, a guy's going to sell you a refrigerator and then a screen protector for your phone. That is not the type of customer service you want, but you'll get that at Mountain High Appliance. You can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, Christian Brown said after the game one loss, we're the defending champs. We got to act like it. My question is, why has it taken six games to finally act like it, which they still haven't yet, despite beating the Lakers in five? That's next. I was scared of pretty girls and starting conversations. All my friends are turning green. You're the magician's assistant in their dream. Oh. This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.